We're continuing our series on a bigger story, the Bible and you. And this morning I'm going to talk to you about grace for your story. How many need grace for your story? You need grace for your story. We all need grace for our story. As I was trying to narrow down this huge topic of covering the life of Christ, I was just asking the Lord, what's the one thing that will help connect our story with His story? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, my people need grace for their story. Let's just do a quick review and quickly lay a foundation. Where would we be without grace? This morning, you may be in great need, and you need greater grace to meet that need. You may be wrestling with a habitual sin and need to experience abundant grace to overcome that sin. How many know where sin abounds, grace abounds even more? You may be in the middle of a mess and you need grace to get you out of that mess. You might be in a good place, but you don't want to stay in that place, and you need some unmerited favor, some divine grace to promote you, to lift you out from where you're at. How many could use that kind of grace? See, no matter what your story is, to be a part of a bigger story, and this is in your notes, we need grace for our own story. We need grace for our own story. You guys can turn me a little bit down in the monitors a little bit. Thank you. Pastor Damien covered covenants and even introduced you to the Messianic covenant. He almost preached my message, but how many know Pastor Damon did a great job last week? But the Messianic covenant is different than any other covenants because of Christ, amen? He talked about the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the Mosaic covenant, where God separated the Israelites from the nations, making them a light for those nations, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation that serves the one true covenant-keeping God. How many are you thankful that we serve a covenant-keeping God, that He never shrinks back from His promises towards us? He gives His law to the Jewish people through Moses on Mount Sinai, laws that govern morality, the sacrificial system, the priesthood, and civil life. And to violate, it's important to understand this, but to violate any of those laws in the Old Testament was to violate the entire law. It was a conditional covenant. Everybody say conditional. In other words, you were blessed if you did this, and you were cursed if you didn't or did do this. You were either blessed or cursed based on what you did. Here's the problem. Some of us are still living our Christian life as though we're living under a conditional covenant. We're still living our life conformed to the law. But Christ, amen, has met every condition of the Mosaic covenant so that we could experience a new covenant of grace, the Bible says, built on better promises. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for He is the one who mediates. How many are thankful that Jesus stepped into your situation? Listen, that Jesus stepped into your mess, that Jesus stepped in, and He fulfilled all the requirements so you and I wouldn't have to. He is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Everyone say better promises. Here's a verse you guys learned last week, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant. This is a prophetic word by Jeremiah talking about the covenant of grace that would be coming through Christ. He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In other words, we will have a relationship, an intimate friendship with Jesus. Another translation says, The NLT says, I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. In your notes, the covenant of works, or Old Testament law, or Mosaic law, focused on conforming us from the outside in. But the covenant of grace that Christ has provided transforms us from the inside out. You see, it's deep within us. It's written on the inside of us. It's changing our story as our hearts are cleansed and our mind is renewed. Our story changes. The Old Testament covenant was based on what we do, or let me say it this way, what we couldn't do in our own strength. Imagine with me 611 laws to live by. How many know that's not joy in the Lord? Living under the condemnation of the law, living under the guilt of the law, living under the shame of the law, never being able to fully live up to the law, having the experience that no matter how hard I worked, no matter how hard I tried, I was a lawbreaker. At the very best, I was a lawbreaker. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Galatians 3:11 says, so it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. You see, the truth is many of us are trying to live up to something that Jesus has already fulfilled. We are still striving to be good enough, trying to prove our worth, still trying to be righteous in our own strength, still trying to live holy lives without the Holy Spirit. When the facts are, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are already good enough. We are already proven. We are already righteous. And we have already been set apart in Christ Jesus. The work has been completed. The work is finished. It is putting our faith and trust in a Savior who has fulfilled the law completely so we wouldn't have to. From the Old to the New Testament, which was a span of 400 years of silence between the Testaments, we transition from the Mosaic covenant based on works to a new covenant of grace based on faith in Christ's finished work. For Christians today, Christ has fulfilled the provisions of the Old Covenant successfully once and for all. And we gain the benefits of it not by actual obedience on our part, but by trusting in the merits of Christ's obedience work. Come on, somebody. And now we obey because it's written in our minds. Come on, it's written deep within our hearts. Now we live by a higher law, the law of the Spirit. Romans 7:6, and this isn't on the screens, so don't worry. This was an early morning edition. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Notice it says we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. In other words, we have a choice whether we serve in the newness or the oldness. Listen, we have a choice to serve the spirit of the law or the old letter of the law. Romans 8:3-4 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, this is the bigger story, life in Christ and life in the Spirit. That is the bigger story that God wants to introduce to your story. You see, our story can be limited without encountering Christ's unlimited grace through faith. In your notes, our story connects to a bigger story by putting our faith in Christ's finished work. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved. How many know you just can't stop there? You just can't stop there. For by grace you have been saved through what? Through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. How many know we need to boast in Christ for what he's done for us? And this leads me to our main passage this morning, John chapter 1, verses 14 and then 16 through 17, when Jesus steps into our story. John 1, verse 14 says, I'm reading from the Amplified, and the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique. How many thankful for his uniqueness? The only one of his kind who is, listen, full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. Verse 16, for out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace. How many thankful for grace upon grace? Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, come on someone, but grace, but grace, but grace. Oh, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be? If it wasn't for the grace of God intersecting your story, oh, where would you be, church? For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, the undeserved favor of God, and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you haven't been joining the Bible tour on Wednesday nights, I recommend that you come. Gary Bell, who's been a pastor at Bayside and a multi-filmmaker, he'll be teaching this Wednesday. But Tom Belt taught us this last Wednesday night that it is God who initiates covenant. It is God who initiates covenant. He desires relationship with us. Amen? He created us for relationship. He created us for intimate worship. From the beginning, his desire was to have intimate fellowship with us and to give us dominion and to bless us so that we would multiply and fill the earth. But we surrendered these privileges. You remember the first message of this series. We surrendered these privileges by believing a lie in the garden, and it's God's desire to restore what's been lost. You've got to understand this journey. Listen, this just isn't a Sunday story. This isn't a story that's just limited to real life church. No, the bigger story is that God wants to redeem what's been lost. He wants to restore. He wants to recover. He wants to renew what's been lost, what we surrendered. As we look at this passage, it's important to understand that with the new covenant of grace, it's no different. It is initiated by Jesus. His incarnation, his birth, becoming flesh. The Message Bible says Jesus moved into our neighborhood. I love that. The New Living says he became human and made his home among us. And listen, this morning we need to know that Jesus loved us so much. Listen, that he is in hot pursuit of you and I. He is in hot pursuit of being a part of our story. Listen, he doesn't want to be an addendum at the end of your book. He doesn't want you to just tag him on in the end notes, right? In the appendix, if you will. No, Jesus Christ wants to be the center of your story. Why? Why did Jesus come? Why is he pursuing our story to nullify the negative consequences of not being able to live up to the law, which is death? And he desires to change the narrative of our stories by giving us life. John 3:16, we know the verse very well, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world." He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In your notes, the new covenant of grace is initiated by Jesus, but it is only activated by putting your faith in Jesus. Do you guys hear that? The new covenant of grace is initiated by Jesus, by coming to this earth, by wanting to be a part of your story, but is only activated when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Many of you want a new story. Many of you want to get to the next chapter, but you've got to trust him. You've got to begin to believe in him. Believe in this covenant of grace that he extends to you and I so he can begin writing a new chapter, maybe even a new book over your life. You see, faith activates what God initiates. The Gospel of John says Jesus came full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What does that mean? It means that Jesus came full. Everybody say full. He came full to release favor and freedom into our story. He came full of grace, full of truth, so he could release grace and truth into our stories. Favor and freedom into our stories. Think of all the interactions Jesus had with people in their stories in Scripture. He turned stories of tragedy into stories of victory. He turned stories of sickness into stories of wholeness. He transformed the stories of the demonized and oppressed into stories of freedom, where all the chains fell off. He changed the stories of pain into stories of purpose. And he changed the stories of death into stories of destiny. And if Jesus can change the stories of people's lives in Scripture, I believe he could change lives today. And I don't care how long you've been in church and how well you think you got it down and how well you're doing the church thing, God can change your life. Listen, as your pastor, I'm not satisfied. I need more grace for where God has taken me as a leader. I need more grace in my life, more truth in my life, so I can get more free as a leader and take you where we need to go. So it doesn't stop. It never stops. Sometimes we feel like we check the boxes, right? We hear the simplicity of truth here, and we say, "Oh, we got that down." Do we really? Do we really have it down? Are we really walking in the fullness of his favor? Are we really walking in the fullness of his truth? I don't think so. I know there's more. I know God has more for you and I. Now listen, will we just come to church and check the box? Or will we come to church and check our hearts? Will we come to church and examine our minds? Or we'll allow the enemy to continue to lie to us. God wants to set us free, folks. It's the fullness. That's why he came. He came to destroy the works of the wicked one in your life. The enemy, listen, we've got to just refuse allowing the enemy to take his toll on us and our families. We've got to draw the line. That wasn't on the screens. God wants to change us. He wants to change us. You say, "Pastor, there's been enough change around here the last 15 months. I don't know, right? He wants to change us. God, I've been asking God, do you want to do things differently, God? It's not my church, it's your church. Lord, you said I will build my church. You didn't say it was my church. You said it was your church. You said that the gates of what you're building, the gates of hell, aren't going to prevail. And that's the kind of church I see. So, God, this church is in your hands, not my hands. Jesus wants to change our stories, and he can change it today. Just 2 points today. Number one, Jesus came in the fullness of grace to restore you and I to our rightful place. Jesus came in the fullness of grace to restore you and I to our rightful place. Ephesians 2, 5 to 6 says, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us, I like that, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is grace? Grace is the unearned, undeserved favor of God. Come on, it's getting what you don't deserve. How many of you ever got something you didn't deserve? How many of you gave your kids something they didn't deserve? You gave them that ice cream, right? Just so they'd be quiet, right? Let me just give you 5 unmerited favors found in Christ. And these are declarations that I want you to take home. Actually, the next several things I give you are declarations for you to take home and make a part of your prayer life. I want you to repeat them after me. Say, I am accepted. I am accepted. Say it again. You see, if you've ever been rejected, you need to know you've been accepted in Christ for who you are. Anyone ever been rejected? I don't know about you, but I've been picked last for kickball. That ain't a good, very good feeling when you're like in fourth grade, right? Everybody's picked except you. You just look, you're standing on the line still, right? Some of you are still standing on the line. Some of you still wonder why you haven't been picked yet. If you've ever been rejected, you need to know you've been accepted in Christ for who you are, right where you are, and that's why you can come just as you are. Just as you are, Jesus says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, Ephesians 1:6, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, you don't have to become anything before you're accepted in Christ. Hello? You don't have to become anything before you're accepted in Christ. You don't have to clean up before you come to Christ. In Christ, you belong, and by faith, you become. And that's why this should be the most loving place that anybody could go. When we open these doors, people should feel the love and the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Listen, a place to belong before you become. A place that you could come with all your hang-ups, with all your mishaps, with all your sin, with all your mistakes. A place that you could come and just get loved on by people who love Jesus. You see, we spend so much of our lives trying to belong that we never become anything. Secondly, everybody say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I'm going to split these up for you, but if you continually discount yourself and have a hard time placing value on who you are and what you bring to the table, you need to know that Christ paid a high price for your freedom. Everybody say, I'm worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm worth it. I was in a worship service just the other week. Last week, I was at a conference, and the worship leader was leading, and this is one of my pet peeves. When the worship leader says, Lord, we're so unworthy. Have you ever heard a worship leader say that? Look, I'm just saying, I didn't pay all this money to be at a conference for you to tell me what I already know, right? That I am unworthy, oh God, right? I want to leave encouraged. Listen, God ain't looking at you like you're unworthy. He died for you because you're worth it. Come on, tell somebody you're worth it. Listen, this will plague you and it'll manifest, listen, in your everyday going to work life. Listen, some of you are way more valuable, listen, than what you're getting paid. Yeah, oh yeah, come on. I'm just telling you. And when you have a revelation of what you're worth, come on, you'll ask for it. You'll say, yep, nope, not going to do it. You can't afford me. Am I lying? Am I lying? Right? If you continually discount and understand and don't understand what Jesus paid for your salvation, listen, you continue to settle for what's below you. In him, it says, we have redemption through his blood. Number three, everybody say, I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. You see, if you live in a constant state of condemnation, you are underestimating the purchasing power of his blood and the riches of his grace. Listen to these verses. These aren't on the screen either, ladies. These are some this morning additions. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. Number four, say, I'm alive. Say, I'm alive. Listen, you came to church today because you wanted to experience the living God. Not a dead God, but a living God. You see, when I'm dying to myself, when I'm crucifying my flesh, I experience more of the life God has for me, not less. Though what you're going through may be causing you pain, with God, pain is not wasted. Pain has purpose. Listen, in the kingdom, you have to die before you truly live. Listen, don't mourn the death of your flesh. Come on, get excited about the life that God is about to release to you. Get excited about the favor that God is going to bring into your life. Get excited about the truth that he's revealing to you that's going to set you free to the next level. You guys getting this? I'm serious. Take this in your prayer time, and you just declare these. Everybody say, I am saved. You say, that's for beginners right there, right? I am saved. Say it again. But see, Jesus did not come to give us fire insurance. He came to give us confident assurance. Come on, say it again. I am saved. Listen, that word means more than just getting to heaven. Listen, it means sozo. That's everything is getting saved. Come on. Not just your soul, come on, but your mind, your heart, your body. Everything about you, come on, is getting delivered. Everything about you is getting saved. Every day, come on, you're in this process from day to day, from glory to glory. He's changing you. Somebody say, I'm saved. They're going to ask you, what happened at church today? You're going to say, I got saved. Altars were packed. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know with confident assurance that we abide in him and he in us because he has given to us his Holy Spirit. Secondly, and I close with this. Man, I'm going to get done early today, but that's all right. Jesus came full of truth to free you and I from the lies of the enemy about God himself. You guys remember this in the first sermon, Adam and Eve were deceived by what? By the serpent, by Satan, but by what? By a lie. And Jesus came in full of the truth. How many know God is truth? He came full of the truth to free you and I from the lies of the enemy about God himself. Satan is the father of lies. And he came in Genesis 2 and 3, he came to distort the image of God. How many know the goal is to be like him? Listen, if you don't have purpose in life, if you don't have a goal in life, I'm going to give you one this morning, to become more like Jesus. Listen, it makes sense. It will make sense of everything that is happening in your life. Lord, why am I going through this? Oh, to become more like Jesus. Oh, Lord, why am I experiencing? Oh, wait, to become more like Jesus. Right? Why am I just arguing with my spouse? Oh, to become more like Jesus. Why am I having so much trouble with my children? Wait. Oh, to become more like Jesus. Why am I having trouble in my fire? Oh, wait. Just to become more like Jesus. Do you see how simple that is? If you put that ahead of everything that is happening in your life, it will make sense of everything that's happening in your life. To become more like Him, no matter how bad it is or how good it is. Listen, when you're getting praise, come on, when you're getting, when everybody is celebrating you, one of the things my son does, yesterday, Bearcats won 4-0, I just had to say it, slip it in. 6 catches, 69 yards, but when Josiah scores a touchdown, he goes like this. Because he would be a fool thinking that everybody was standing praising him, right? He knows that if it wasn't for God, listen, if it wasn't for God, he wouldn't be on that football field. Satan is the father of lies. He comes to distort the image of God. Jesus came full of truth to bring back into focus a clear image of who he is. And this is what we see in the book of John. We see Jesus giving these 7 I am statements about himself. And John, they so revolutionized John's life that he wrote them down by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know if John wrote them down, we should pay attention to it? Jesus told Philip in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And John, listen, he recognized that Jesus came to clear up what the enemy meant to confuse. Number one, this is in your notes, I am the bread of life. Say, I am the bread of life. So in your prayer time, you could change it to this. Say, God, you are the bread of life. It says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. How many know we need to let him satisfy us? Nothing else should satisfy you except Jesus. Listen, you shouldn't settle for anything less except Jesus satisfying you. Secondly, I am the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. You can, again, you can take this in your prayer time and say, Jesus, you are the light of the world. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows, look at, do you see the unconditional promises in these declarations? Do you see this? It's an amazing thing. He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, how many know it's easier to follow him because we've got it written in our minds and in our hearts. Come on, if we'll just take time to tune into the frequency of heaven, if we'll just take time to tune into the frequency of our Father's heart, we'll know what he's saying. We won't speak without him speaking, and we won't do without him doing. He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let him be your light. No matter how dark it is, no matter how dark the valley is where you're walking, he'll be your light. Listen, no matter what dark tunnel you're going through, you can say, Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Number three, I am the door. Say that. You can say, Jesus, you are the door. Talk to so many people that just, I'm just praying for a door to open. I'm just praying for that next door. When I read this, I said, Jesus is the door. You don't have to wait on Jesus. He is the door. He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Listen, instead of praying for a door, let Jesus be your door this morning. Number four, he says, I am your good shepherd. Everybody say, you are the good shepherd. John 10, 11, and 14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Just think of that for a moment. Who's the sheep? We are. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Listen, take time this week to know how good he is. I don't care what you're going through. You can just say, Lord, you are my good shepherd. You are my good shepherd. God, you're leading me. God, and I'm following you. I'm following the paths of your goodness. Number 5, I am the resurrection and the life. How many know this clears things up? It says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, listen to this, though he may die, he shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Listen, I told this to 50 men who came out to our breakfast yesterday. Listen, allow God to bring you back to life. Allow God to bring your dreams back to life. Allow God to bring you back to life. He's the resurrection and the life. The last two, number 6, I'm the way, the truth, what? The life. I love confessing this one. I just say, Jesus, you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. No matter what it looks like, God, you're the way, the truth, the life. Lord, no matter what decision I make, no matter what people think, you know what, God? You're the way, the truth, and the life. I just make those confessions. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, beware of the access that you've been given this week. Just confess that. Say, Lord, you're the way. You're the way. You just lift your hands for a moment. I just sense his anointing here. You just lift your hands and you just confess that to him right now. Just say, Lord, you're the way. Some of you are the truth. You're the life. Come on, you're the way. God's calling you back. He's calling you back. Some of you have gotten off track, but he's calling you back. He's the truth. Listen, some of you, you've allowed the enemy to lie to you and distort the image of God. You've believed lies about God. And Jesus this morning says, I've come to tell you that I am the truth. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying about your situation. Listen to what I'm saying about you, I'm the truth, and I am the life. Will you just tell the Lord right now, I receive that life. I just receive your life, Lord, the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just thank him for access just right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you the last one, but we're going to stay in this moment. It says, I am the true vine. John 15, 1 and 5 says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Another, I love this. Another translation says, I am the gardener. Where did all this start? Where did the bigger story start? It started in the garden. And here it is in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Lord, I just thank you for what you're cultivating in your people. God, I thank you that, Lord, you are the vine, and God, we are the branches. And God, you said, he who abides in you, God, will bear much fruit, much fruit. Can you just thank God for your next season of fruitfulness? Listen, go ahead, just thank him. Listen, breakthroughs for your business, fruitfulness, breakthroughs in your spiritual life, fruitfulness, disciples. Come on. Your life being multiplied in others. Fruitfulness, 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 fruitfulness from your intimacy with God. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. We thank you, God, that you're the bread of life, that you're the light of the world, that you're the door, that you're the good shepherd, that you're the resurrection and the life, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. And God, this morning, you are the true vine. You're the true vine today. You're the true vine. Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to worship him. I just feel like the Lord wants us to worship him. And you know what? We don't even have a worship team. All we got is a guitar. But how many know you can just lift your voice right now? Come on, I just want to acknowledge his presence all over this place. Come on, this reminds me of even what God began to do in the men yesterday at the breakfast. We just began to lift our voice. Come on, and we just seen the holy roar, come on, of worship and prayer. Come on, just lift your voice to him. Come on, as Justin just plays his guitar, just lift your voice to him. Come on, just acknowledge him. Oh, hallelujah. He'll make a way where there's no other way. Come on, he's going before you and he's coming behind you. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, just acknowledge his presence. God, as he reveals himself to us right now, oh, you would just respond to him. Oh, respond to the goodness of who he is. Respond to his grace this morning. Come on, you're accepted in the beloved this morning. You're forgiven. You're redeemed this morning. Lift your hands and worship him. Respond to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. Can you just sing a new song? I know I'm challenging some of you, but can you just lift your voice to him and sing? Oh, you just lift your voice and sing to him. Come on, just take a moment to get your praise on. Just take a moment. Come on, just shake off those heavy bands right now. Come on, unmerited favor is coming to you. God's unconditional truth is setting you free right now. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise this morning. We worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. Come on, respond to his goodness. Come on, respond to his goodness. We respond to you, oh God. We respond to you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to do. I just want you to put your hand on somebody, on their shoulder. I just want you to begin to pray for them. Just pray over them. You don't have to know anything about them. Lord might say something to you to encourage them, but just put a hand on their shoulder and just pray for them. We're going to just pray for everybody in the church. Come on. Just begin to pray. Just begin to thank them. Thank God for their lives. Come on. Thank God that they've been proven, that they've been accepted, that they've more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you're doing a new thing. You're doing a new thing, Lord. You're doing a new thing, God. We just pray your kingdom come, your will be done in this place, Lord. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Just take another minute. Come on, just declare the goodness of God over their lives. Come on, 45 more seconds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. Come on, 30 more seconds. Come on, press in. Press in. Come on, let this be a house of prayer. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Church, this week, will you allow grace and truth to intersect your story. Listen, no matter where you're at, no matter what circumstances you come across this week, it might be all good, but something might come in and interrupt things. But hey, listen, just be aware that, come on, that He is the way, the truth, and the life.